Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Looking at today, Christian growth. 2 Peter chapter 3. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." What does it mean when someone says, "Wow, that person has really grown in the past year"? Well, around here I've heard those statements about some of our young people have grown like corn stalks in the past year. Since the COVID hit, it hasn't stopped their growth. And wow, they really have sprouted up. The word stature means natural height in an upright position. Have you ever seen them measure babies when they're first born? Trying to put those little legs out straight where they want to be, you know, in the fetal position. And it's like, how accurate is that? I don't know. Sometimes you wonder. Is it more like a guess? I don't know. So some of our young people have certainly grown upright, that's for sure. But, you know, physical growth is only something that God can do, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle we take for granted, but it happens right before our eyes. Notice in Luke chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible says, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature," what? One cubit. How long is a cubit? From the elbow to the tip of the fingers, it's about 18 inches. So a foot and a half. So in the Bible, if you're reading about whether it's the ark or whatever, you're just multiplying 1.5 times the number. So it's that number and half that number again is the length. So whether it's the ark 450 feet long or 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, or whatever it is, that's how you can kind of bring it down home so you can tell in your mind how big this object is that it's talking about. So the Bible says here, which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And I don't know how much some of our young people have grown, but it seems like they've grown 18 inches in the past year. I don't know. So a lot anyway. And you know what? God refers to that as a little thing. It goes on in verse 26 and says, "If ye then be not able to do that thing which is what? Least, why take ye thought for the rest?" Oh, how many young men would like to be 18 inches taller so they could play basketball and, you know, dunk the ball or whatever, you know. God says, that's just a little thing. It's just, to him, that's a little thing because he created us. Now, thinking of adding 18 inches to our body, what that means, it means the bones have to grow 18 inches, adding up different bones, but it's got to grow that much. How are you going to stretch that bone? How do you get that bone to grow? And not just one bone, but several bones amounting to 18 inches. The arms have to grow at the same rate, or you've got problems. The leg bones have to grow at the same rate. I mean, you're looking at 18 inches of growth. A lot of things have to grow in proportion to one another and the same. Think about that same thing at the muscles. Brother Len, he went to lift a refrigerator, and one of his tendons, I think it was his tendon, wasn't it? It just snapped. Well, okay. How far do you think you could stretch a tendon? Do you think you could stretch a tendon 18 more inches? Wow, that's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle growth is, and that God has all these things growing. Muscles. Could you stretch your arm 18 inches? Could you stretch your bicep 18 more inches? Your triceps and all of your muscles? What about blood vessels and arteries? How far do you think you could stretch that without it snapping or breaking? All of that has to... How about nerves? If you have problems with nerve endings and neuropathy, just imagine, okay, God has got to lengthen these nerves. I mean, you've still got to have wiring to the end of your fingers and your toes. You know, it's like when you add on to a house, what do? You know, if you're going to add on 18 inches to your house, do you just, you know, do you get two tractors out there and just, will the boards stretch that far, 18 inches? You know, when it comes to the wiring, oh, I need this, okay, just, you know, hook that wire onto a tractor and just, will it stretch 18 inches without breaking? I mean, we're talking of a miracle here when the body grows. Imagine our skin. Imagine our skin. Titus, is your skin tight? Can you imagine stretching your skin 18 inches more in length? Well, parents, you know how that is. It's easy, isn't it? You know, your child grows and you just put your boy's pants on the pants stretcher and, you know, no problem. 18 inches more needed, no problem. You know, if the girls grow, like Elise has grown, you just put her dresses on the dress stretcher and 18 more inches, it works, doesn't it? No, that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Just think of the miracle of skin. And physical growth is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle right before our eyes. That nothing came disconnected, you know, while we were growing all that height, you know. It can still function. But what about spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is even more of a miracle. We take a lot of miracles for granted. We take physical growth for granted. In fact, we take our bodies for granted until something doesn't work. And then we realize what a miraculous invention the body is of God, a miraculous creation of God. Well, what does it take to have spiritual growth? Number one, if you're taking the notes, Christian growth requires spiritual conception and birth. Christian growth requires spiritual conception and birth. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Christian growth requires spiritual conception and birth. What is the seed? It's the word of God, we're told there. People can't be saved unless they hear the word of God. Notice in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, that's why Reese and Stacy are headed for Papua New Guinea to try to reach those that haven't heard. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have what? Not heard. And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except what? They be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So people can't be saved unless they hear. They can't sprout, spiritually speaking, unless someone gets the seed to them. And that's our desire, is to get the seed to them. Not everyone that receives the seed will accept it, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people, when they hear, refuse to believe. They just refuse. Some people out yesterday refused to even listen. Some people listened. So you find people at all different stages and willingness. What's the deal? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. What's going on in their brains? Well, what's going on in their hearts? Hebrews 4, 2. For unto us was the what? The gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Not being mixed with what? With faith in them that heard it. There was a man yesterday we talked to, and he told us, he said, you've done some good in coming here. You've done some good. It's got me thinking. So we need to pray that what we say would be mixed with faith in them that hear it. So to become a Christian, a person has to get, they have to receive the word of God, the seed of the word of God. Somehow they've got to receive it. And that's what we want to do. We want to try to get it to them. Notice in John chapter 1, and then when they receive that seed, then of course it's, what are they going to do with it? In John chapter 1 and verse 12, John 1, 12, the Bible says, but as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we want them to receive the seed and then to produce seed themselves to share with others. Now, just down the road here, there's a family that likes to plant sunflowers. You've probably seen them. And so he was out there planting the seeds earlier this year, and then they started to grow, and now the heads are coming out on the sunflowers, and those sunflower heads will produce many seeds. Between us and our house here, they planted corn. I don't know how many hundredfold or a thousandfold for every seed of kernel corn they planted. I don't know what the average yield is today. Maybe it's different with different hybrid types of corn. But for every one seed planted, I don't know how many hundredfold you get. And so that's our goal, is to distribute God's word, the seed of God's word, and trust that people will get saved, and then they will pass it on themselves. So Christian growth requires spiritual conception. It's what Jesus talked to Nicodemus about, being born again. Let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1. John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now, a little Charlie right now seems small, but shortly, Lord willing, Charlie's going to seem really big. And once there's a newborn baby. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is the water? Next verse tells you. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So we've been talking about growing physically, physical stature. What a miracle that is. Well, being born again is a miracle of God. The seed, someone feeling compelled to share the seed with somebody, and that seed taking root, and that person getting saved. And there's only one way to get saved, and that is to be born again. So number one, Christian growth requires spiritual conception and birth. Number two, Christian growth requires spiritual food. Christian growth requires spiritual food. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Christian growth requires spiritual food. I don't know, Brother Steve, should we take up an offering to help you feed Titus? Is it getting that bad yet or not? Okay. So Christian growth requires spiritual food, okay? 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire what? The sincere milk of the word, that ye may what?
Grow
thereby. So it's amazing, isn't it, how God does that. This little baby is born, and no pizza, no hamburgers, no French fries, no ice cream, no donuts, just mama's milk. Pretty soon, those little cheeks get chubby, cute little chubby cheeks, and those little arms fill right out, and those little legs fill right out, and no food. What is there? Desiring the sincere milk. It's mama's milk. But as Christians, how do we grow as Christians? Desiring the sincere milk of the word. That's how we grow. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, and verse 4. Why is it that some new Christians just grow like Titus and Elise? I mean, they just pop up. And why do some new Christians not grow? Well, it has all to do with food, the word. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what?
Every word
that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the difference in growth. Christian growth comes from taking in the word of God and then living according to it. Notice in James chapter 1, the moment we stop taking in the word of God and stop obeying it, that's when we stop growing. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1 verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the what? The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye what?
Doers
of the word, and not what? Hearers only. Yesterday, we got an earful at first from a man telling us about too many hypocrites in the church. Well, what's the deal? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if we're hearers only, what's the next phrase tell us?
Deceiving
your own selves. That's when we're going to stop growing. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Have you ever looked in the mirror in the morning and you are busy maybe brushing your teeth or doing something else and you thought, oh, I see something on my face or in my hair I need to tend to. But by the time you got through brushing your teeth or whatever you were doing, you forgot about that other thing until you walked right off. And later on, you might have come back and say, oh, you're kidding. I was walking around like that, you know, my hair sticking straight up or whatever it was, you know. I can't believe I've walked around all day like that. Well, when we read the word and don't obey what it does, that's what it says we're like, verses 23 and 24. We saw the problem, but we didn't fix it. And so the problem is still there. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what?
Continueth
therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a what?
Doer
of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So verse 25 describes someone who is putting on Christian growth. Putting on Christian growth. Sadly, it seems like when a person gets saved, it seems like many times by the time the year date rolls around in the calendar, A lot of new Christians have stopped. By that time, they've stopped growing. What happens? Well, maybe they were not taking in the sincere milk of the Word. Maybe they weren't reading their Bible. Maybe they read their Bible, and maybe still are reading their Bible, but maybe they're no longer a doer of the Word, just a hearer. So growth ends, growth stops. Maybe it was who they were hanging around, Psalm chapter 1. Maybe they were hanging around the scornful. And so maybe they stopped growing. And so that you see it, you notice it. And here's where we come into the scenario too, the picture. As Christians, are we growing? You know, because if we stop growing, then those around us, in other words, what happens many times is, you know, new Christians are reading the Bible, Lord willing, if they're growing, they are. And so they find something and they come and ask us about it. And so they might say, well, why does the Bible say this, but very few people seem to do it? Why? What do you say? It's sad, isn't it? It's sad when we don't obey the Bible, when we write ourselves an excuse slip, and then it affects new Christians big time. It's sad. The Lord brought one to my mind. That's about, I'm thinking back in a certain situation. Some people were growing real good, but there was hypocrisy going on, and it just stopped their growth, and it was because they were looking at other Christians. You know, Brother Steve just had us sing, loyalty to who? Christ. Loyalty to Christ. You know, if we are loyal to Christ, we won't be a stumbling block to other people. But our loyalty has to be to Him. So, number one, Christian growth requires spiritual conception and birth. Number two, Christian growth requires spiritual food. Number three, Christian growth requires a desire to please God. Christian growth requires a desire to please God. Notice in Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4, 13. The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the what? Stature of what? The fullness of Christ. You know, we're not supposed to measure ourselves by ourselves. That's not wise. The measurement is Christ. Those of you who work on your vehicles for very many years anyway, there came a point where cars have both standard and metric bolts, threads. And that is so confusing because now you've got to have two sets. You've got to have a set of wrenches that fit regular American measurement, and then you've got to have a set of wrenches that fits metric, which used to be just foreign things, but you know, now it's just all mixed up on a car. So, but the measurement is Christ. The stature, we're talking about growth. Stature, remember, is how you measure someone upright when they stand up. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that is who we need to measure up against. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up. We're talking about growth. May grow up into who? Him in all things, which is the head, even who? Christ. Christ must be the standard, not people. We cannot successfully serve two masters. Notice in Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. When I was in high school, I hired in to a tool and die shop, and I was one of the cleaning boys, sweeping the shop and cleaning up things. And so there's the main foreman over the whole shop, and then there's another man, though, that's kind of my boss, overseeing all the young guys that clean. And so sometimes there was a conflict. The boss right over me would tell me to do things a certain way, and the foreman over the whole thing would say, quit doing that. Do it this way. What do you do? Not a pleasant situation to be in. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve what? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So they're referring to, you can't serve God and money. It doesn't work. You can't serve both. We'll either serve money or we'll serve God, one or the other. So Christ is the standard. So what kills Christian growth is when we stop doing what the Bible says and start doing what man says. Notice in John 14 and verse 15. John 14:15. Jesus says, if ye what? Love me, do what? Keep my commandments. There's a lot of people that say, I love God. And a lot of those same people do not obey the Bible. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, the contrast to that is found in Isaiah 29. The contrast, if we do not love God and do not keep his commandments. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with what?
Their mouth.
And with their lips do what?
Honor me.
But have removed what? Their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by what? The precept of men. So Jesus, God's prophesying here and saying, you know, people draw near me with their mouth, their lips, they say they love me and so on, but their heart is not with me. And what they're following are actually precepts of men. Now we see the fulfillment of that prophecy in Mark 7, in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 5. Mark 7:5. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath who?
Esaias.
So that's the Greek spelling for Isaiah. Why hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their what?
Their
heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the what?
Commandments
of men. For laying aside the commandment of who? Of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject what? The commandment of God, that ye may keep what? Your own tradition. So that's the fulfillment of Isaiah 29 right there in Mark chapter 7. So is Christ really the one that we want to please in our lives? That's the only way to keep on growing spiritually. Christian growth comes from the desire to please Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Once again, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That spiritual growth is wanting to please him, to grow up in him. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to what? To please God, so ye would abound more and more. How are we walking through life? Pleasing God or pleasing man? You know, it's so easy to walk through life just wanting to please people. And don't get me wrong, we shouldn't walk through life just trying to aggravate people. That's not the idea. But do we really have that desire to please God? To please God. Once again, this verse here. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Christian growth is pleasing God more and more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to open your word. Lord, we wonder how we're doing on the heavenly growth chart. We wonder how it's looking spiritually. Are we growing? Or is there something wrong? Are we stagnated? Are we stopped? Is our growth stopped for some reason? Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, Father, it's so easy to live just to please ourselves, to live just to for the praise of man. Father, I pray that you would help us not to live for our own pleasure or live for the pleasure of others, but to live to please you. And Father, I pray if there should be any here this morning who have never yet been saved, they've never yet received that seed of the Word of God and been born again, I pray it help them to realize today that Jesus is the pure and precious and perfect Son of God. God Almighty in the flesh came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And he was buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his pure and sinless blood was indeed enough to pay for our sins, and death could not hold him. He paid the death price. Father, I pray that no one would leave here today without receiving Christ. I pray that you'd help us as Christians. May we be growing. Lord, some of our young people, we've seen noticeable growth in the past year. And Father, I just have to wonder, has anyone seen any noticeable spiritual growth in us? I pray they would. Lord, please help us in Jesus' name. Amen.